Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of My Sister's Diary. I hope everybody is having a fantastic last week of August. I know the 31st is technically on a Sunday, so like, I guess that's the last week, but like, this is the last full week of August, which is crazy. I can't believe it's already September. Once it gets to September, I'm like, the year's over. I know people are like, that's just the best part. But like, it all goes so fast. The end of the year, like September, October, November, December, those months go by so fast because there's so much going on. We have a lot to look forward to. I finished with my kids. I told you guys this, I think at the beginning of the summer, at least I think I did. I can't remember now that I'm actually saying it. We made a summer bucket list and I have a Polaroid camera that we took pictures of for like all the things on our list. And I have like this big craft paper that we made it on and my kids helped like draw pictures of the things that they wanted to do. And then we just put the Polaroid on the big craft paper and hung it up throughout the summer. And we finally finished it this week. And I'm kind of sad that it's done because it was so much fun and it's so cute. I bought this little book. I think it's from Polaroid actually. It's Polaroid brand, which I guess I'm bougie. Anyway, I bought this little book and I put all the Polaroids into the book, and it'll be fun, so much fun to look back on. Like, I took pictures of my kids at the beginning of the summer and then I took one at the end of the summer. So I think that'll just be fun. It'll be fun to have for a long time. I think I want to do it every summer. I'm not going to commit to that though. But I really think that I want to do that. My kids had so much fun with it, really. Especially my oldest, but next year, my little girl, she'll be a little bit older, so I think she'll be able to, you know, enjoy it a little bit more. Okay, next thing on my list is I finally watched the Eras Tour, like Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour on Disney. I didn't like sit down and watch the whole thing, I will admit, and if you're a diehard Swiftie, don't come at me, but I skipped past some of the songs that I didn't know that well. I know people are like, just give it a chance, and I'm like, I did. I listened to at least like the first couple seconds of every single one, but some of them, it's a really long movie, so I definitely skipped past a little bit of it, but I was like mesmerized, honestly, with some parts of it. I listened to the All Too Well, it's the 10-minute version. I listened to that probably four times. Like, I rewound it and replayed it because it's so good. I hate to be like the basic Swiftie, I guess. I don't identify necessarily as a Swiftie, but like, I do like Taylor Swift. I'm not a hater, but I know that's like basic to like All Too Well, but it's just a good song. It's a great song. And I think the live performance of it was really good. So, okay. Next thing on my list, I promise I will stop complaining about this eventually, but today's not that day. So I had contact dermatitis on my fingers, you know, and I accidentally got some of the polish on my thigh. And I had a rash there. I thought it was like sun rash, but no, it was contact dermatitis. And then it went away completely and it just like flared back up after I got stung by the wasp. I know maybe that's just total coincidence, but it flared back up and it's really annoying because it's still hot outside and I like to wear shorts, but I have like this big ugly, I don't know, I'll post a picture of it and show you guys. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you about that because why wouldn't I? Oh, last one. Sorry, I'm trying to go through these fast because I have a lot of submissions to go through this week. So this last thing is this is really important. I need you guys to listen. I made a TikTok where I took a picture of my watch band, like my Fitbit watch band, and it's cloth, not cloth. It's like, I don't know, it's not metal or plastic. It's cloth, I guess. And it got wet. So there was like a dry spot on it. And the dry spot looked exactly, bear with me, it looked exactly like Robin Williams when he plays Teddy Roosevelt in the Night of the Museum. And you guys might think I'm crazy. You're like, this is the stupidest thing you could ever talk about, but it is uncanny. I'm not kidding. It's crazy. And every time I see it on my camera roll when I'm looking at pictures, I'm like, oh my gosh, there it is again. And it shocks me every time. I'm like, it literally looks like someone photoshopped it on there. I will post a reel of it because it's so crazy. And so many people on TikTok agreed with me. They're like, you know what? I see it. Like, you have to look at it for a little bit. You know, some people see it right away. Some people have to look at it for a second. I will post that because I want to know what you guys think. If you think it looks like him or if you think I'm absolutely cuckoo crazy in the brain. Okay, let's move on to the topic for the week. I should have introduced that at the beginning of the episode. I did not. The topic is, what would Sam do? And I wanted to do this because I find myself giving advice on what I would do whenever I have a listener submission episode anyway. So I figured I'd just go full send and like open up to you guys. So I figured I'd go full send and just open up for you guys to submit things that you want to know my like all-knowing wisdom on. And I'll do my best. I will do my best to tell you what I really would do and not just like, this is what someone should do. No, I'll tell you, I'm going to do method acting, okay? I'm going to immerse myself into the story. I'm really going to put myself in your shoes and think to myself, like, if this was actually me, what would I do? And I'm going to give you guys my unfiltered advice on that. I guess not advice. I don't know. Some of this could definitely be advice, but maybe not. Okay, let's do the first one. This first one says, my new kitten hates me, like fears me so bad for no reason. Lately, he comes into my room, which he has never done before, and after a few hours, it smells like cat pee in my room. Okay, you guys, if this were truly me, I wouldn't have a cat, okay? I hate cats, I'm not gonna lie. Other people's cats, fine, like if they have them in their house. I don't know, I'm thinking just specifically of my best friend. She has a cat, and it literally doesn't bother me. It's not inside very often, but like, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. The cats that live outside my house that pee and poop in my flower beds, those piss me off and I legitimately hate them. But just in general, as a blanket statement, I would say I don't like cats. So yeah, I wouldn't have cats in the first place. But in like some alternate universe where I do have cats, this is what I would do. Cat pee is the worst smell in the world. I'm not exaggerating for me. It's like one of the worst smells ever. If you wanted to torture me, just, you know, get like cat pee fragrance and spray it in my face. So if a cat was peeing in my room, I wouldn't have a cat anymore. Like, bye-bye, kitty. It's gone. Especially, you said this is a new cat. You're not that attached to it yet, right? You're probably not that attached. And if it's peeing in your room, like, that's a big deal. It's a cat, and you should get rid of it. That's exactly what I would do. I'm not even lying. I would get rid of it. And I'm sorry, I'm not a cat person, so maybe that's not the advice you want to hear, but that's what I would do. Okay, next one. Said this one has a trigger warning, so it's trigger warning about miscarriage. So if that's something you don't feel like you can listen to right now, just skip forward a couple minutes. So it says, I had a miscarriage at 6 weeks. Nobody knew I was pregnant, but I told my family about the miscarriage so I could have some support. My husband doesn't want to tell his family because according to him, then they'll know we're trying for a baby. What would Sam do? Do we really just go on with our lives with half our family never knowing this baby existed? First of all, I wanted to say I am so sorry. There's not any manual really to tell you what you're supposed to do in these situations. So really, you can just kind of go off your own intuition. I have never had a miscarriage myself, so this is kind of hard for me to put myself in your shoes. But I do imagine it would be incredibly hard. I have friends, I have family members who have had miscarriages, and just like watching them go through it, I know it's really, really hard. So I will do my best to kind of give you what would I do? I think I would tell my husband's family. I think I would want them to know because, I mean, you said, do we really want to go on with our lives with half our family never knowing this baby existed? So it sounds to me like it's important to you that like you don't just move on from that and that you want the baby to be remembered. You know what I mean? And so if that were me and I was also feeling the same way as you about that, I would want people to know. I would, however, I don't think I would want people bringing it up to me constantly and like asking me how I'm doing about it. And I don't know, maybe. I'm just not the type of person that would want that. But your husband hesitating to not tell them because he doesn't want them to know you're trying for a baby, it is kind of weird to me because, I don't know, it doesn't bother me, I guess. It did when it was my first baby. I didn't want people to know we were trying to have a baby because it felt awkward to me. But guess what? When I told them I was pregnant and then I had a baby, everybody knows how babies are made, okay? So they know. They already know. So what does it matter if they know you're trying? But also, I do understand in the same breath that sometimes when people know that you're trying for a baby, people constantly ask about it and they make it their business. So I can totally understand not wanting to tell specifically in-laws. I don't know, just like with women and their in-laws, I think it just is a more awkward relationship, like husband's parents or partner's parents. It just is more awkward to me, I guess. It's more awkward for them to know and be asking like, oh, I know you're trying, have you had any success? Also, why do people ask, oh, any baby yet? Like, no, obviously I would tell you if there were. Anyway, okay, sorry about that little soapbox. But yeah, I think I would have my husband talk to them about it and not make it like a big thing. I think I would just tell them like, hey, we just wanted to let you know about this. It was important to us that you know, because like this baby is part of our family and it's important to us. And I don't know, just let them know that you need a little bit of space or privacy if that's what you wanted. That's what I would want, a little bit of space and privacy. I'm really sorry that you're going through this, and whatever you do decide will be perfect. I wish you didn't have to go through that. Okay, next one says, first off, so happily married, I don't want to change a thing, but oops, I have a crush and we are friends, but I only know him because of my husband. Awkward much. Anyway, occasionally we'll chat or send each other DMs or IG reels because he is super similar personality wise to me. Is this bad news bearers? I won't let it turn into anything, and he's pretty good at keeping boundaries, but can we stay friends and keep doing this? He's so cute and it's definitely crush energy, but I ain't ruining anything, just having a little fun with a friend. Ugh, I think this is bad news bears. I think this is just messy territory. I don't think it could lead anywhere good. I really don't. Like, it's inevitable. Hear me out. It's inevitable for you to find people attractive. Like, that doesn't just turn off when you get married. Like, you're still gonna find people attractive, and I think that's totally fine and normal. But, and like, maybe even having a little crush. Well, no, I resent that. Finding people attractive is different than a crush, because a crush is like feelings. And to me, that feels not cool to be having feelings for somebody else when I'm in a committed relationship. I don't think I would actually not think I know I wouldn't entertain this. I wouldn't keep flirting. I wouldn't keep sending DMs and reels, because guess what? You don't need another friend. You really don't. That's what I tell people when they say like they want to be friends with their ex still. I'm like, why? You don't need any more friends. Like, the only reason you're friends with somebody is because you're holding out hope that it will turn into something. Truly. Like, I think if you look inward a little bit and you're like, why do I need this person as a friend? It's because you have a crush on them and you don't want to stop having a crush on them. And I get it. Like, it's fun and gives you a thrill. But you know what gives me that same thrill? Romance books. And that's how maybe you should turn to romance books instead of doing this in real life, because then you just live it out in your head and it's not real. But I think if you, I don't think that you can be friends with this person and keep flirting and chatting with them. Because if you can't be friends without the flirting, without sending DMs and all that, then it's not a friendship to begin with. You know, like, if you can't be friends without that, then it's not a friendship. Anyway, back to what I would do in this situation. I would stop, like, hit the brakes hard. Don't do it, because it's not worth it. It's gonna, think about if the roles were reversed and your husband had a crush and he was like kind of pursuing the crush a little bit. Not that you're pursuing this person, but like you're feeding into the crush and your husband is doing that. I don't think it would feel very good. And I don't think this would feel very good for your husband, especially since this was his friend to start with, or you only know him because of your husband. I don't know. It seems messy. So I think I would just walk away. Walk away from it. You don't need more friends. Okay. Next one says, I love food and I can't seem to just walk away. Yeah. Same. Literally same. You know what I would do? I would talk to my therapist. If you don't have one, it might be time to look for one. That's what I do, to be totally honest with you. I do talk to my therapist about food sometimes, because sometimes I feel like, I'm being totally open with you guys right now. Sometimes I feel out of control. Like, I feel like I can't stop eating cookies, and I don't like that feeling. I don't like feeling like I can't, you know, be in charge. I don't like feeling like I can't decide what goes in my body. I don't like feeling like I have no control. And so that's something I talk to my therapist about. And I know it's complex. I know it's complex. Complex. I don't know. Whatever word. I know it's complicated. Everybody's relationship with food is different. So it's hard for me to like say exactly what I would do in this situation, other than just talk to my therapist, because I think that she would help me kind of sort out whether or not it's like just a light thing, or if it's something we need to talk deeper about. Yeah, that's what I would do. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And maybe not a lot of people, but a lot of people that I talk to, I think, can relate to that. Okay, next one says, I have a coworker who is so self-centered. They don't want what's best for the team. They just want whatever will be less work for them, even if it screws over someone else. You can't talk to them about it without them completely freaking out. It makes work miserable. these kind of people suck. I'm not kidding. They freaking suck. And the reality is, though, if you try and like force them into caring, like, hey, this, could you not see that this screws someone else over? They don't care. They literally don't care. And it would just make them do it more, honestly. It just makes them grumpier. And what I would do is I would try to get them fired. I'm just kidding. If you didn't know, no, I was kidding. Don't try and get them fired because then you'll get fired. What I would do though is I would do my best to not interact with them at all costs. I don't think this kind of person is the kind of person that you can have a conversation with. Like you said, like it just makes them freak out and nobody wants that. So I think if you had to talk to them though, like if it was becoming a huge issue, I think what I would do is I would ask HR if they could have somebody like mediate a meeting so you guys could talk about it. They can't freak out on you if HR is there. Yeah, I think that's what I would do. I think I would ask a mediator to be there to have conversations with. But really, sometimes I just look at people and I'm like, why are you this way? Truly, like, why do you have to make everything so hard? Can't you just like take a step back for one freaking second and see that it's not all about you? And that's what I would say to this person if I didn't care about anybody's feelings. I'm just kidding. I would actually never say that to somebody. That's what I would want to say to them is, why don't you care about anybody else? Okay, next one says, my little sister is in a relationship with a guy who lives off grid, basically in a compound with his family, and he's a pretty big conspiracy theorist. They're big believers in, quote, God will provide, but they don't go to church of any sort, just self-led study and reflection. They say they're, quote, married, but he doesn't even have a birth certificate. So we just call him her partner because legally they are definitely not married. They just had their second kid and they've had to have emergency C-sections with both. Since he has no government identification, they haven't been able to have insurance, so the bills have been astronomical. We keep saying maybe they'll take this as a lesson and he'll finally get his ID taken care of, which was, quote, thought about a little before they had their last kid. But he changed his mind after they had their baby and are in debt with hospital bills over $20,000. So they made a GoFundMe and there was no way in hell I was going to fund this lunacy. Go get your government stuff figured out and learn from this problem. Guess what? They got funded. So no consequences for these crazies who think they can get by without government ID, insurances, and taxes. I'll get off my soapbox now. We do love them though. They are just a little whack, laughy, cry face. Okay, sometimes I see things that people do and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Like, why didn't I, you're saying that I could just not pay my bills and just have a GoFundMe and people could pay it for me? I'm just kidding. But this person didn't come right out and ask, like, what would Sam do? But I'm going to assume that you're asking me what I would do if this were my sister. And honestly, nothing. Like, I would absolutely gossip about it to my friends and complain about it and be like, this is really annoying. And my husband would hear about it like every night. But there's nothing you can actually do about it and nothing that I would do because I think that would cause like a rift between my sister and I, and I'm not willing to do that. I think it's one of those situations where they just have to fail to succeed. Like, they're gonna have to face consequences before they realize that they need to change what they're doing. Like, they're, like you said, they had a GoFundMe and it got funded and like everything turned out okay. But, and so to them, like, it's okay and they don't need to change, you know? So until they like actually face consequences, they're not going to change. They're not going to do anything about it. And no matter how many times you talk to them, you're probably not going to change their mind. So I think I may like talk to my sister about it and be like, I'm worried like that this is going to happen and you guys are going to get in like a really bad financial situation, or worried about the kids not having like ID and what that looks like for their future, things like that. But that's as far as I think I would go. I think I would have that conversation, then I would drop it. Like, I wouldn't continually bring it up because it's just going to create, you know, more drama than it needs to. It's hard to watch people do these things and can see how hard this would be watching, especially as a big sister, watching your little sister do these, because you're worried about what's going to happen if he doesn't get ID. You know, there's so many things that could happen. So of course you're worried. And of course it's frustrating to watch people not get consequences. All right. Next one says, my cousin is getting married in a few weeks and it's supposed to be a kid-free wedding. I just found out though that a few of my other cousin's kids were invited. I have three kids and was specifically told they could not come. Do I go and leave my kids behind or bring them or just not go? What would Sam do? I would be incredibly petty about this. Here's exactly what I do. I would go and I'd leave my kids at home and I'd be mad about it for sure. And I would definitely tell my friends and my sisters and anybody who would listen to me how rude I thought it was. But big picture, it doesn't matter. okay, it's your cousin. It's not my wedding date. And in a few years, I probably won't even care anymore. I'll be over it. So I'm not going to make a big stink about it. I'm just going to go, not bring my kids and whatever. If it were my sister, this would be a totally different situation. I would absolutely call her and be freaking pissed and be like, why can't I bring my kids? But since it's a cousin, I think you just take the L and you just go and probably make a few passive aggressive comments like, oh, my kids would have loved it. And I really wish they could have came, with like a little bit of a side glare. That's what I would do. Okay. That's what I do. All right. Next one says, my neighbor is always borrowing. Okay, this one is crazy. My neighbor is always asking to borrow stuff, which most of the time I don't mind because it's like a shovel or something like that. But she texted me earlier today and asked if she could borrow my air fryer. Am I crazy or is that a weird thing to ask to borrow? That's weird. I think that's weird, especially from a neighbor. And it's like not a necessity. They don't need it. You know what I mean? They're just like, hey, I think it'd be fun to use an air fryer. Can I use yours? I don't know. I feel like it's equivalent to asking to borrow someone's microwave. Why would you do that? You'd never do that. That'd be weird. I would probably just say, you know what? Oh, no, I wouldn't say, you know what? That would sound rude. I'd say I spent a lot of money on this air fryer, actually. Okay. Hold on. let me gather. I would say I spent a lot of money on it and I don't want to lend it out to people. Just that. Like, I wouldn't try and make excuses or be like, I'm so sorry, or I would, but, or I wouldn't offer for her to come over and use it because then that opens a whole other door. I would just be point blank. And then if she hits you with a, oh, I'll be really careful, I wouldn't reply. I would literally ghost her, which you could also do. That's also an option for number one, her texting and asking for your air fryer. You could just not text her back. I think that's a great option. And if she hits you, if she comes over, okay. If she comes over and is like, hey, I don't know if you saw my text. Can I borrow your air fryer? You should move because that's an overbearing neighbor, and overbearing neighbors are the worst. Where we live now is great. Our neighbors are great. They stay, you know, enough out of our business, but like they're still friendly and we talk to them. But we have lived places before where we've had an overbearing neighbors, specifically overbearing children. That's a whole other story for a whole different day. But overbearing neighbors are frustrating and annoying. So I'm sorry. I think once, if you tell her like, hey, I don't want to lend you my air fryer, maybe she'll start getting the hint that like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be asking for so many things, you know, maybe that would happen. But if she doesn't take the hint, then you should move or you should call the police. Okay, next one says, this isn't about me, but my little sister. One of her college roommates who she was pretty good friends with is getting married and asked my sister to be a bridesmaid. She texted a link to the dress she was supposed to buy and it is not cute. And it's $375. What would Sam do? I don't know. This one's hard. I think it would depend on how good of friends I was with this person. Like, I know she's a bridesmaid, but sometimes I feel like, especially in Utah, like the bridal party's really large and not everybody's like super close with the bride. So if that's the situation, I think I would, like, she might not be that sad if you dip out, you know, she might not be that sad if I was like, you know what, I can't. But truly, I think if it were me, this is what I would do. If I was in a financial situation where I could buy the dress, I think I would just do it. I think I would just buy it and wear the ugly dress and just be there for her. But if it was out of my budget, like completely out, like there's no way I could buy this. Like, it kind of sounds like your sister might still be in college or like freshly out of college, maybe. And if that were me, there's no way I'd be spending $375 on a dress, because that's like our groceries for the month. And we'd have to choose between a dress and groceries. Yeah, that's not going to happen. And I think I would just text her and say, I love it. Okay, you could lie. A little white lie. Never hurt anybody. I love it, but I really can't spend $375 of mine. Do you have an alternative in mind? Because maybe she has a different dress that's like a little bit cheaper or something that she would be okay with you wearing. And if she says no, I think I'd just tell her like, I would love to be there and support you, but I really can't spend $375 on a dress. So I will, like, I'll be there, but I can't be in the bridal party if that's the dress I need to wear. And yeah, I know it would suck and it would be awkward to tell her that, but like, you don't really have a choice if you can't afford it. I think that's just like, I'm not going to sacrifice my necessities or like paying my bills to buy a $375 dress that I don't even like for a wedding. Okay. I also feel like the dress, like if it's more than $200, then they should be, Actually, they should be buying it. If it's a specific dress that they're like, you have to wear this dress, they should be paying for it, I think. I don't know. I didn't pay for my bridesmaids' dresses, and I let them choose whatever they wanted. I just gave them a color and, like, kind of a style that I was going for. But I, like, looking back, I'm like, that was kind of not cool. I should have paid for their dresses. I don't know. I just feel like that's what, I don't know. Maybe that's not normal. I don't know. I just am looking back and wishing I would have done that. So I don't know. I feel like the roommate should pay. If it's $375, she should be paying for it. At least offering to pay for half of it or something. I don't know. All right. This one says, someone tagged me in a photo on Facebook and I look really ugly. That's it. That's it. I'd untag myself for sure. Like, number one, I think anybody would do that. I think anybody would untag themselves. And then I would just let it be. I would not message them. I don't think I'd message them or text them or anything and be like, hey, can you take that picture down? Because it really doesn't matter. Like, is the world going to end if there's an ugly picture of you on the internet? No, it's not. Okay. And if you're not 13, then it shouldn't bother you. You know, in fact, it might make you a little more likable because people will be like, you know what? She's a real person. And it might surprise people when they meet you and they're like, wow, you're not ugly. They'll be pleasantly surprised with how you look based off that picture. But I would definitely untag myself for sure. Okay, this is the last one. It's kind of complicated. It's interesting. It's kind of hard for me to answer, but I'm going to do my best, okay? It says, I recently became friends with my neighbor. She's a few years younger than me, not married, and has no kids. She just finished cosmetology school and is starting up a salon in her basement apartment of her parents' house, my neighbor's. We have become close this year by bonding over shows and little things we have in common, also about disagreements with the LDS church. Well, my mother-in-law is friends with her mom, and the other night she was talking to my friend and found out that we have become friends and asked her to try and get me to come to church because I need God in my life. My mother-in-law feels like I'm falling off into a terrible path, and she is genuinely worried about my kids because I am not faithful enough. My friend told her that we have talked about it already, and she understands my reasonings of stepping away. She also said, hey, if she wants to go, she would. Stop pushing her. Anyway, to my point, Sam, what would you do? My mother-in-law refuses to know the real me and has this perceived idea that I am some good, perfect Mormon wife that is falling off the deep end. Yet I am the same person I have always been. She also thinks this about my husband, her son. She physically breaks down in tears, telling us how much it breaks her heart that we aren't sealed in the temple. She believes that our family we have built is never going to be together forever, which I honestly do not believe. How do I kindly tell her to take a hike? I don't even know where to start with this, honestly. It sounds like your mother-in-law has crossed some boundaries for sure, and she's putting her emotions above everyone else's. Like, it's important to her that you go back to church because she is worried about your family and being together forever, and it makes her sad and worried. But, like, what about you? What about what you think? You don't think your forever family's ruined. You aren't worried about where you are with the church. You feel just fine. And her emotions aren't yours to control. And I know that seems harsh and sounds harsh, but, like, it's honestly, it's not. Like, it's not harsh to not try and take on the weight of somebody else's emotions because you can't control them. You really can't control them. And so it's hard for the mini rant there. But let's get back to the question, which is, how do you kindly tell her to take a hike? I wish that you didn't have to be kind. I'm just kidding. Obviously, you want to be kind, but this is what I do. I think I would make my husband do it. Actually, I know I would make my husband do it. I would know I would make him talk to her. And I would make sure that, like, he lays it out very clear that, like, you need space. And talking about the church is not going to be productive. Like, talking about church and her feelings about the church and her feelings about you not going to church is not going to be productive because you guys don't agree. Like, you don't agree about it. And so just talking about it is just going to create more and more distance between the two of you. And so if she wants to maintain a good relationship with her, like, daughter-in-law and her grandchildren, not talking about it and not bringing it up is the way to do that. Because I think it's the most respectful thing for both sides too. Because if she talks to you about the church and you have a differing opinion and she's insistent that you tell her what it is, she's not going to be happy hearing about that because she doesn't agree because she's still in the church. You know what I'm saying? I would just make sure that they know that the important thing is maintaining a good relationship. And I don't think I would use the word boundaries because sometimes people hear the word boundary and they automatically think it's like pushing people away. And so I wouldn't use that word. I don't think I would. I wouldn't say, hey, I'm setting a boundary right here. I wouldn't do that. I would just be make it clear in other ways. And I think the way to like kindly tell her to take a hike is to emphasize that you want to keep your relationship with her if that's something you want. But if this were me, I think that would be something I want. I would want my kid's grandma in their life. I would want my husband to maintain a relationship with his mom. Like I would want to have a relationship with my mother-in-law too. And so like just tell them you want to keep the relationship close, and talking about things that you disagree about is not the way to stay close. And just kind of put that line in the sand, be like, we can't talk about it right now. Maybe eventually you can talk about it, but like it's not going to happen right now. And in order, like if you're going to stay close to them, it needs to be known that, that's not a thing you're okay with. Anyway, I wish the best of luck for you. I know having conversations about religion with family members is really, really difficult, even with like friends sometimes. I know it's just difficult to have conversations about religion because it's really personal. And I think people's emotions are extremely heightened because it's really important to people. And I understand that for sure. But you just have to let people do what they want to do sometimes. You have to be okay and like just love people no matter what. So I don't know. I wish the best for you. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, knowing what I would do in these situations. And, you know, I'm not claiming to be perfect at giving advice, so please don't take it if it's not resonating with you. It's just fun to have a different take sometimes. So that's all I'm here for. I'm just here for a different take than I'm here to run ideas past you. You're here to run ideas past me. I don't know. Either way, thank you guys for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you next week. Bye.